This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 35 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, we're presented, of course, by Talk Loud Radio. You can find us on all your major podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher. Of course, we're coming at you live every Tuesday and Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Time at the Going for Two fan page, and we are streaming in the Going for Two app. All right, guys, this is going to be our first daily fantasy podcast of the Armchair Fantasy Show this season. We're getting a little bit of an early start. We will have one more show next Friday to get you ready for the weekend. But I thought I'd bring on a couple guys here, and we're going to talk a little bit strategy, some basic strategies. I know there's a lot of new players that are going to be coming in, so I wanted to sort of go over some basic strategies that we use every day on a daily basis. And then we'll talk a little bit about some plays in the second half, and we'll do a little bit of spade or fade. To help me out with that, I've got two guys that have come on here quite often before. Of course, everybody knows Gerson, DFS Roundtable. Gerson, what's up, man?
What's up? Ready for this season?
Definitely, man, definitely. And also from the DFS Roundtable, we have Mr. Tim Strobel. How you doing tonight, Tim?
Doing good, man. Ready to get this money.
I see you rocking the jersey already. Getting ready for football season, man.
Yes, sir.
Good deal.
My man just got paid.
Yeah, he definitely did, man. That was $100 million guaranteed. That's crazy.
My man, like he's married to him.
Ooh, okay.
Hey, man, I just before we got on here, man, you got all excited when I tricked you into thinking that Khalil Mack signed, so I don't want to hear it. He's your man.
I know Garrison's over there praying Mack is.
I'm not saying my man, though.
Okay.
All right.
My quarterback.
My quarterback. That's my quarterback.
Okay, T.O.
All right, guys. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit of strategy, like I mentioned in the opening. There's going to be a lot new players, which, of course, for us that have been playing for a long time, it's always good for us to have new players because they typically don't know what they're doing, and we can take their money. Just kidding, guys. We're not here to take your money. So we're going to basically talk some basic strategies here in the beginning, pretty much things that most people that play fantasy, or daily fantasy enough, probably already know. And then the second half of the show, we'll kind of go over some quick plays. We'll go in more detail in next Friday's show with some plays. We'll give you a lot more statistics and everything else to back it up. But tonight we'll just do a quick run through of the slate. Are y'all ready to get started?
Sir.
All right, good stuff. The first thing I got on my list here to talk about is let's talk a little bit about stacking and what that means and why it's different than in season-long fantasy football and why stacking is a good thing. Gerson, let's go ahead and start with you first. What do you think of when you think of stacking a lineup on daily fantasy?
This is the first part, and then we're going to do another podcast tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
For those of y'all that have been listening for a while, Gerson likes to talk, so he might talk the next hour all by himself. So we've been taken over by Gerson.
It's not called talking, it's called going deep into it. Basically, unstacking, it really depends on how you want to do it. As we all know,
got some connection issues here, Gerson. Oh, there we go.
What was that?
We got some connection issues. I don't know if that came through. If you could start over, because all I got was breaking up. Tim, could you hear him?
Yeah, I could hear him.
All right, maybe it came through just bad on my side. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we have a running back, wide receiver stack, or, you know, wide receiver tight end. Just depends, two-man stack, four-man stack, three-man stack. Depends how you want to do it. I personally, my favorite stack is always going to be a quarterback wide receiver one, because that's where you're going to get the most optimal points, like projected top point. It really depends how you want to do it, if you want a value stack or if you want to, like, you know, just go that quarterback wide receiver one, my favorite stack. After that, the second stack I like is really running back and defensive stack, which is very correlated to, you know, making sure that the running back is in a good game script, facing a very Vegas scripted game for him, which means they have to be dominating their opponent so they can be ahead. So that way, when they're ahead, they can just be running the ball over and over. Of course, the defense got to be good to do that.
Right, right.
So we know the defense will be good. They're gonna be a running back defense stack. The third stack I really like is probably the wide receiver, quarterback, and the opponent wide receiver coming back to him.
Gotcha.
But those are some of my three stacks that I like. But you always want to correlate it with your quarterback or with the other team's opposition wide receiver. There have been some new ones and research that have been coming out lately in the last couple of years. Everything's been going differently. So it all depends how you want to look at it. But that's just my opinion of how I like to stack.
Gotcha. So, yeah. All right. Tim, can you explain what it means to go naked with your quarterback and talk a bit about correlation exactly and what that exactly means?
Yeah. So going naked means that your quarterback, you do not have one of his possible pass catchers or any of his, you know, on your team. Correlation is when you have a quarterback and one of his pass catchers, you tend to see a better odds of having that lineup really go off, right? And like Garrison also mentioned, if you're expecting that your, say, quarterback and wide receiver one are going to go off, it's most likely to happen when it's a high-scoring game and the other team is scoring too. So as he said, if you're expecting it to be a high-scoring game, you want to run it back with somebody from the other team that's going to help your guys kind of move you up the list and separate yourself from other people who might have that same stack.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, basically stacking is you're going to be double-dipping. If you got your quarterback receiver, you know, every touchdown you get double-dip points. Typically, you want to stack some high-scoring games, like you said. Correlation is kind of a newer thing, at least over the last couple of years. You know, you really didn't hear correlation when I first started playing, but correlation now with you, like you said, quarterback receiver from one team and getting the receiver from the other team, because it's going to be a back and forth kind of, you know, game, a passing game. Definitely want to have exposure to that game as best you can. There is some sort of negative correlations too. If you go with like a quarterback running back, the thought process there is that if they're running the ball, they're not passing the ball. But I think in recent years has changed a little bit with some of these pass catching running backs. Yeah, like Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton could be a good stack, because Christian McCaffrey basically catches passes like a receiver. Deion Lewis is another one when he was with the Patriots, even now with the Tennessee Titans. You know, he'll be a pass-catching running back as well. So those negative game scripts negative correlations don't quite work in that sense.
Absolutely. I mean, if you see that a team is particularly bad to one skill, then you can really target that as long as, like you said, it's correlated. So pass-catching running backs, tight ends, wide receiver ones or twos, whatever it is, you can create a stack to fit that matchup. But you always want to go with what you think has the, you know, best chances of succeeding there. So I agree with you there, man. I think that's a really important point.
Cool. All right. Let's talk a little bit about how you build your lineup. So when you're actually in there plugging in your plays, Gerson, don't be laughing there, man.
Well, when someone says how to build a lineup, it's like, whoa, there's a lot to do.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. I agree. There's definitely a lot. But where do you start, Gerson? Like when you're actually starting your lineup, do you like get your core plays, plug those guys in, and then figure who you can build around them? Or do you start by plugging in your values and then build up from there? Or do you just start at quarterback and go straight down? Like, how do you build your lineups?
Well, the first thing I do, I get Tylenol. So when I get a headache from all my research, I make sure I'm okay. The second thing I do, I go to Vegas. That's the number one thing I do, because Vegas tells me right from the start what games I should target, what quarterback, what running back, what wide receiver. It'll tell me all the numbers I need to know to have an idea of, like, already processing through my mind that, all right, obviously we know Deshaun Watson, Tom Brady, Houston versus Texans, you know, and somewhere. The second thing I do personally is look for my values, because if I look for my value, it allows me to put those big time players. Because if I find my values first, then I know what kind of slate it's going to be.
Right.
It could be a shock slate. It could be, oh, this is easy to make, you know? You know, it's funny because they have all these commercials always coming on TV. Well, they used to have them. Come on TV. Come be a millionaire. play on DraftKings or FanDuel. Here we go. And then they start putting in, like, all the freaking best players. And yeah. You're like, wait, what? How can you get Tom Brady, Gronkowski, Le'Veon Bell, and all these players? But no, it doesn't work like that. So if you get those values, it allows you to open up. It opens up your roster construction brain, I guess you can say, the way you can brainstorm it. So Vegas first, value second, and third is stacking. I look at stacking like as like, oh, if I can stack this guy, then I know how my roster is going to look like, you know?
Right.
Those are probably my top three things that I look at mostly when I start building my roster. But when you get down to the nit and grit, is your player pool. You have to define who you want to eliminate and who you want to have.
Right.
Because you can't be like, all right, I'm going to play them all. So you really have to do your research. But those are the top things I actually look at. I might be missing one or two, but in reality, I can't talk for an hour long. So I'll let you guys touch it.
Well, in reality, you could talk for an hour long, but I'm going to cut you off at some point.
I could.
Tim, what do you look at when you're building your roster tag? Where do you start from?
Yeah, man, I think Garrison really nailed it. I mean, we have a similar process in that respect. The first thing I usually do is I go to Vegas. I start trying to see, okay, what are going to be, you know, what do they expect to be the highest scoring games? What are some, you know, like he said, stacks that I might want to see out of that game? You know, what are some things that I think could really go off to achieve that total? And then, as he said, once I find out, okay, I want to do, like he said, a Brady stack or a Breeze stack, then I start finding those values to fit those players in, right? Am I going to take a lower priced running back? Am I going to go cheap at tight end? Am I going to pay down at defense? How am I going to be able to fit these, what I consider to be? And so when he was talking about building my lineup and player pool, that's so important, I think, to have a good core. Obviously, it depends on how many lineups you're making. But if you're not making 150 lineups, then I think that you can have a core of, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys and just run them in a ton of lineups with a bunch of different stacks. And that's a good way to get yourself some exposure to a bunch of different games.
Definitely agree with that 100%. I wanted to ask you all a little bit real quick about the game times. I think the main slate now on both FanDuel and DraftKings has eliminated the Sunday night game. So it's basically the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock games. So let's say you build your lineups and you realize you've got all 1 o'clock players. Do you typically leave it that way, or do you try to force to have at least one or two late game players in there? Gerson, I'll start with you.
I've been asked this question a lot before, and here's the way I put it. If the best value play of the day is going to smash for 10 times value and he's playing on the late game, are you going to play him? Obviously, yes, right?
Yep.
He's the chalk. In case you don't know what chalk means the obvious play that everybody will play, the highest percentage player. If he's not, and you just say, oh, well, I want to further to the morning games, you know. If you have that mindset of, oh, I want to further because when I work, see Julio Jones, you're not going to profit. You always have to be open-minded when you build your roster. To me, it doesn't matter if it's early game, late game. Of course, it's got to be on the slate. Don't be doing research and be like playing the prime time, you know, and all that. I mean, if you play it, that's cool. I mean, yeah, obviously you have to know all the players, but to me it doesn't matter what time they play, it doesn't matter where they play and how far away they play, but that's another time.
Gotcha. What about you, Tim? Do you look at the time they play for any reason to build your lineups?
Not really. That's not really something I take into consideration too much. I mean, like Harrison said, play the best plays, man. I know it sounds obvious, but once you've narrowed your core down, once you know who your guys are that you're going to play, I mean, just play those guys, man. You know, I think I've seen some where people, like, they play all home guys or all away guys, things like that. I don't really get into that too much either, man. I just try, like I said, I narrow down my core. I do a bunch of different lineups with different stacks. And I just roll with it however it comes out.
Definitely. What about weather? I know, obviously, coming out of the baseball season, weather was kind of a big thing because games get canceled. Typically, they don't get canceled in the NFL. But does weather play a part in who you select as far as your quarterbacks, your receivers, your running backs, or even down to the defenses that you choose? Do you look at weather at all? Gerson, we'll go to you.
It's kind of funny because this just happened just recently. I remember Jeff and I, we were like, well, I was freaking out because I had a lot of exposure. It's a preseason game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus some other, I think it was the Lions, and they had lightning. It's very rare that you'll find lightning like as a problem in a game. I think you'll probably find it like, what, one time a year?
Right.
Concern. If it's raining, a lot of people say that, I did some research on it. A lot of people say negative correlation when it's raining with the weather for quarterback. It actually isn't that big of a difference. It really isn't. I looked at the research. It's not any more than like 0.5 less than what they would average for like a normal game. The other thing is, if it's like a snow game, I'm definitely not going to target a kicker. I'm not going to target a quarterback because when it starts snowing and stuff, the balls get really murky and whatnot. And it's different from wet weather. A wet weather, right. You can still grip a football, but when it's cold and stuff, unless your name's Aaron Rodgers and you play in Green Bay every year, you know exactly what it's like. I mean, you don't want a Southern California. And that's why I'm like, Sam Darnold week one, I'm like, all right, Southern California boy in cold weather, let's see how he does, you know? If it's snowing, I'm going to target those running backs because those running backs are just going to get a lot of volume in a weather condition like that. I remember, I think it was last year, Jordan Howard played your 49ers, and it was a really bad weather, and it was like kind of like snowing, but it was raining, but then later on it turned into snow.
Right.
And he had a big – I mean, no offense. I'm sorry, but every running back has a big game against the 49ers.
Yes,
but,
yes, they did.
You know, it does take an impact into me. I do have to look at it. So, yeah, I think weather is a concern sometimes.
What about you, Tim? You think the weather plays a part in who you select?
Yeah, a little bit. I think Garrison nailed kind of the most common scenarios, like really high wind, like in excess of 20, 25 miles an hour. That's really the only time I start letting it affect whether or not I'm going to play a quarterback. And like he said, obviously snow games, and especially heavy snow games. I think the game that I remember might have been a year or two ago with LeSean McCoy. It was just pouring down in Buffalo, and he was already priced well and was already considered a play, but at that point, he became almost a must play. So I do think you got to look out for weather. I don't think a little wind or a little rain, like Garrison said, really sways me one way or the other. It's got to be extremes. I think that's kind of the key in NFL weather. If it's not extreme, go with your gut.
Definitely. Definitely. And this is actually a good point to bring up sort of a shameless plug. I've been working with this company for now 2 years, and they're finally getting ready to launch. And they're going to change the way we look at stats. It's a pretty cool tool that they've got set up. It's called StatRoute. StatRoute's going to be launching for the public, I think, on the 4th. And it's got some tools that we really don't have elsewhere. I was playing around with it last night. And you could put in stuff like over the last 5 years, you can put games that are below 35 degrees or wins a certain, snow games, rain games. And look at their fantasy production over the last three years, 5 years. You can look at home games, away games that are outdoors, away games that are indoors. A lot of cool stuff on there that's going to be coming out here pretty soon. We're going to be promoting it pretty heavy. I guess, again, statroute.com. You can check it out. It's going public on September 4th, and it's a really cool tool that I think I'll be using a lot this year.
Wow. You got to do that to me, Jeff. Give me another tool.
Yeah, I'll definitely hook you up with that. I'll give you my passcode when we get off the air here, and you can definitely check it out. It's cool. Last night I was looking at it, and you got the notion that Big Ben is bad on the road. So to prove it, I looked it up last night. I went on Big Ben on the road in outdoor games over the last 5 years. He's QB 24 over that time frame. So definitely not a good thing if you got Big Ben on the road at any time. So you want to avoid him for sure. So, yeah, but pretty cool tool. Like I said, I don't think there's too many tools where you can sort and filter through weather. It even sorts it where you can go third quarter, fourth quarter, second quarter, second half, all kinds of stuff that you can look at. Overtime games, it'll filter all the stats out for you. It's an awesome tool that I'll definitely be using for both my season-long leagues and for my daily fantasy leagues for sure.
Nice.
All right. I just wanted to bring up one more question here on strategy. I know, like, in baseball, you don't want to start your hitters against your pitchers. Is it the same thing in football with defenses? Do you want to avoid having the defense that's playing against your quarterback or your running back, or does it not matter? Gerson, we'll go to you first.
A lot of people don't play any players against their defense most of the time on that. The only time I suggest you avoid that is on primetime slates or like small slates where you have to go contrarian to win it all. Because I've seen a lot of, when I was a degenerate last year, I would play those primetime slates because I'd be like, all right, am I up? I played the primetime. All right, I got money. Let's go. Boom, 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 boom. And then, you can on a smaller slate. And it's kind of crazy because now they have those Showtime or the Showdown. I don't know.
DraftKings Showdowns, yeah.
So obviously you're going to play those plays, you know, against a you're not going to have a defense, so right. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm not sure if you can roster a defense. Can you?
In DraftKings, you can. FanDuel's version of the Showdown, you can't. So,
okay.
So in DraftKings, they have kickers and defenses available for you to choose from.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so that makes sense. The other things I don't do is I don't really like to put like my running back with a wide receiver stack. You know, like sometimes I don't like to put the same players together. Like a very popular choice this week one, going to be Rob Gronkowski and Burkhead. You're really going to have to think about like if you really want those two guys together. You know,
right?
Or like Hogan and Burkhead. You know, et cetera. But other than that, I don't really look too much into it. But those are my biggest issues sometimes. I'm glad they don't longer have kickers, too, so yes. I don't really have to worry about that.
Yeah, I honestly think I'm going to kind of miss the kickers a little bit on FanDuel, and I'll tell you why. When I used to build my lineups, I would start with putting in my cheap kicker and my cheap defense and then build from there. And then after I was finished building my roster, I would upgrade my kicker or my defense if I wanted to. That kicker position, because it was so cheap, you could plug it in and, you know, sort of upgrade elsewhere. Whereas now you got to put a flex guy in there. You got to pay for that position. They didn't increase the salary on any of those things. So it makes it a little bit more difficult to build a lineup. But at the same time, I think that difficulty sort of gives us veterans a little bit of an advantage because we're going to dig a little deeper and find those guys that, you know, may not be the mainstream guys. So I kind of like it in that sense as well. Tim, I kind of keep going to Gerson first and stealing your thunder here, so I'm gonna try to go to you first next time here. But what do you feel about with defenses and guys on your team playing against your defense?
Yeah, I think Garrison kind of hit it in the small slates or things like that. You don't really have as much of an option. But in general, it's not something I really do. I think it really comes down though to what kind of lineup you're building. I think there are situations where I'm probably not going to play a player against my defense in my cash game, but I might consider it for a GPP option. If there's somebody who's just supposed to get a ridiculous amount of volume, let's say that they had an override implied total of like 17, I might play them in a GPP lineup or two and not necessarily put them in my cash game. Same thing, like he was mentioning about a quarterback and two possible pass catchers. Again, something I probably wouldn't do in my cash line, but I'm much more likely to do in GPP. So I would say those are kind of things you kind of have to play by individual situations, but overall, it's not something I'm going to do often.
Yeah, agreed. I think there are times when I've done it in the past. A lot of times people think of defense and they think of just points scored against, but I actually look at a little bit more than that. You know, interceptions, sacks, turnovers is a big thing too, and you know, those points don't go away when the other team scores. So if you got a team that's going to be getting a lot of sacks, interceptions. I think a couple years ago, the Patriots were one of the worst teams as far as giving up yards and even gave up a lot of points. But they caused a lot of turnovers. They were, you know, got a lot of sacks and they were still a good defense to play, even though they gave up points. And something like that, I might consider it. But like you said, it'd definitely be a tournament option, not something I would do in my cash games because it's not always going to work out for you that way. But yeah, definitely, I think you try to avoid it at all costs in your cash game lineups. Gerson, let's go. Let's start with Tim. Sorry, let's start with Tim this time. Give him a chance to instead of just echoing what you say. Is there anything that you have that you do that we haven't talked about yet? Anything that you wanted to talk about as far as strategies, that something that you may do that may not everyone does?
Yeah, just something that we kind of mentioned earlier is, like I said, one of the first places I go to when I'm building my lineup is Vegas. And the first thing I usually look at is obviously implied total, right? Individual teams, the over-under. And then one thing I like to do, especially right up until lock, is look at some of the player props. I think that what you just mentioned, it kind of sparked my memory about it, is you can see some of those lines move pretty significantly. And if your team or, you know, whatever is projected for 3 sacks and all of a sudden they're projected for 5 sacks, or, you know, interception went from projecting a half to projecting an interception, you know, something like that. If you see a particular prop move significantly, then it may give me a little bit more interest in playing a particular player or team. It's not something that I make my lineup decisions on, you know, in general. But there are times when I think that there's just such, and it's kind of also with Vegas line movement as well. If I see a particular line move, you know, significantly, and it's not obvious that like their quarterback got injured or something, and that means there's enough money coming in that they're seeing something that I may not be seeing. And it just causes me to dive back into my research a little bit and make sure I didn't miss anything. But I like to watch movement for both Vegas lines and player props. Those a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that's sort of under the radar that people don't really think about. But you're right. You know, those movements mean something. Somebody knows something somewhere, and they're going to change their the way they're spending their money. So those big wigs know some stuff that we don't know. So what you got, Gerson? You got anything that we haven't talked about yet that you want to talk about strategy wise?
No, I mean, you guys pretty much nailed it. Did you say you were getting an echo from me? Is that correct?
No. I was just talking about how Tim was basically echoing you. Because you were going first every time, and he was just like, yeah, well, Gerson said, go to you. All right, I'm done.
got you. No, I mean, every position is different, how you want to attack it, you know. Tim pretty much covered a lot of it. I mean, I have like I like to call it the Bible. I do that. Like, whenever you break down each position, have like a rule that you kind of have of your own. Go one by one and you follow it in cash game or a GPP, you know, because it's really, and it's kind of funny because when we're at home with our girlfriend or wife or whatnot, we're hell of unorganized. We will leave crap everywhere. Sorry.
Sorry. Like, it's rated R, man. We're talking about gambling. It's a rated R podcast. So you're good.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, I'm going to put a curse jar out there for you guys, but I'm not going to let you have my money because I swear a lot. But anyway, so, like, we're very organized when it comes to our research. That's the funny thing. But Tim nailed a lot of it, you know.
Definitely. The only thing I wanted to bring up, and I talk about this pretty much whenever I go on other podcasts, I mean, it's pretty common knowledge for most of the guys that have been playing for a while. I know, Gerson, you're a GPP player mainly. I do a little bit of both. I know Tim plays a little bit of both. But the one thing I like to do is always cover my tournaments with my cash games. Yes. You take your cash lineup, you play one cash lineup, I plug it into whatever cash games I want to plug it into, and then I figure out how much profit I would make if my cash game hits. So let's just say I put it in a $10 GPP, I mean a $10 double up, so my profit would be $10. I then take that $10 and put it in tournaments. That way, as long as my cash lineup hits, I at least break even. So that's something I always try to do, because that way it kind of covers you. Obviously, your cash lineup won't always hit, but if you put all your research into your cash lineup and you make a good lineup, you're going to hit more often than not. And at worst case scenario, if you do it that way, you'll break even. Best case scenario, your cash lineup hits and all your GPPs hit and you make some good money that night. So definitely something I always recommend to new players to cover your. Don't just keep plugging in GPPs because you can go broke really quick.
So many people always say that too. Oh, I forgot to put my cash game. Oh, no, don't put, like, a GPP roster. No, a cash game roster, and it'll score, like, 240 points.
Yeah.
But then when they forget to put it in a GPP tournament, they could have taken down the whole tournament. You always have that what-if moment. What-if.
Exactly. Hey,
can I make one more point?
Yep.
Just brought up?
Yep, go ahead. Me.
Hey, so I actually, shameless plug for the DFS Roundtable on Facebook. One of our group members brought up a topic today that I think is very important, and it might be one of the most important topics for new players, and that's contest selection. I always say that contest selection is second to lineup selection.
Yeah.
People spend so much time and energy, which you should, into creating the perfect lineup, and they'll just throw it into any random contest, okay? If you're out there and your bankroll is large enough to where you're maxing out multiple tournaments, then ignore what I'm about to say, okay? But for a lot of you out there that are playing $5, $10, $20 a week, okay, then what you need to do is make sure that you're spending your money wisely and putting it into the right tournament. If you're playing a $10 double up and you're only playing one $10 double up, put it in a single entry double up. Don't put it into one where they're going to be putting in 50 lineups. Definitely. Same thing with your GPP line. If you're only making three lines, put them in a three max. If you're only putting one line, put it in a single entry. That's not to say don't throw occasional darts in the Millie Maker, because we all like to have fun with that. But right. You have to be just as smart with how you spend your money as how you pick your play.
Definitely. Definitely agree with that 100%. And I just wanted to throw this out there, a story I've shared multiple times. A shared friend of ours, Matt Sandell, comes on the podcast quite often. So he used to write for us back in the day, a couple years ago. He used to write baseball lineups, and he used to do our cash game articles. Gerson knows where I'm going with this. So in his article, he'd always put at the bottom, he put like a sample lineup of like, this is, you know, some guys I like. This is a lineup that's pretty decent. I might play this lineup. So anyways, he did that. And the next morning I wake up and I got multiple texts, multiple DMs, like people saying, you know, thank you for the lineup. And they're posting their screenshots of like winning $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. And I'm like, damn, that was in Matt's article. So I text Matt that day, like, Matt, how much did you make on that lineup that you posted on your article? He's like, man, I put that thing in a $1.50. So he made $1.80. Yeah, he was pretty sick. Oh, my God. All right.
Can I add one more thing on the cash game side? Yep. I'm not much of a cash game player, but, of course, I do know a lot about cash game. I mean, I could build a cash game lineup if I wanted to, you know. But when you play cash game, make sure you put them in. If you're facing head-to-head, always learn DraftKings has – you can eliminate good players. You can block people.
You can block them, yep.
And then when you play one-on-one or, like, three-game cash game, one-game cash game, or one-man cash game, your probabilities are going to be higher because now, let's say T.Y. Hilton last year when he went off for 40 points or so, if you had him and everybody else didn't have him, you're going to beat everybody else in those little small games. Yep. But the other thing is, let's say your cash game roster didn't cash because it came up short, but you're still probably going to beat at least 6 or 7 people out of the 20 people you play.
Definitely.
You know, your odds are a little higher when you play those little small one-man game. I don't know how many they have. One-man game, three-man game?
Yeah,
how
they, they got the head-to-heads, obviously. They got the three-man. They got the five-man. I think there's a 20-man. Yeah, so, yeah, there's some good contests there. Because, yeah, definitely, when you play a small contest, a lot of the guys play the chalk. And if you also play the chalk, but say you didn't play one of the guys that were chalk and the other guy had them and he ends up, you know, bombing out, then you're in good shape to win that head-to-head, and you can actually have a terrible lineup and his other guy just has a more terrible lineup, then you're in good shape. So definitely seen that before, where a lineup that didn't cash games will cash in your head-to-heads because of just what you said. Some guys just go off and you just happen to have them in your lineup and you're good to go. All right, let's go ahead and take a commercial break here. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about some plays. I don't want to get in too detail yet because we still have one more show before the start of the season. So we'll just kind of run through the positions and then we'll play a little spade or fade. Sound good to you guys?
Sure. Sound great.
Three shows, one podcast. The Talk Loud Radio podcast combines sports, nerds, and pop culture with the Pay Me No Mind show. Just down-to-earth sports and entertainment. The Clash of the Nerds Let's Podcast Show. The latest movies and video games with a dash of comedy. And the Armchair Fantasy Show. Eat, sleep, fantasy sports. Find Talk Loud Radio on all the major podcast services like iTunes and Stitcher at talkloudradio.com and streaming on the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. Talk Loud Radio, where sports, nerds, and pop culture collide.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingForTwo.com has you covered. GoingForTwo.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingForTwo.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfortwo.com because no one remembers the extra point.
Today's show is brought to you by Daily Fantasy Nerd. They have everything you need to build better lineups. You can analyze stats, view up-to-the-minute Vegas lines, check player game logs, import and manage your own projections, build optimal lineups, and a bankroll tracker. To get started for free, visit goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd. That's goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd. Start winning today. All right, guys, welcome back. I did an extra commercial there because I saw Tim was not at his computer yet, so I wanted to make sure he got back before I went and ran the music. All right, so let's talk some plays here. I know both of you like to play on DraftKings. I play on both sites a little bit more heavy on DraftKings of late because I don't know if anybody heard this, but I'm actually part of a committee now for DraftKings, so I felt obligated to play on there more often. And actually, I've been winning pretty well. Actually, the computer that I'm using right now, I bought on DraftKings Dime because I had a big win a few weeks ago. So with that said, we'll kind of try to go for FanDuel and DraftKings, give you prices on both and some value plays on both. But let's go ahead and get started with the quarterback position. Tim, we'll go to you first. Let's talk about your quarterbacks for this week one. Who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I like a bunch of guys, but at the top, you know, it's interesting because in general, I usually don't tend to pay up for quarterback, but I think that it's becoming more and more popular for people to pay down at quarterback. So I think there's some edge to be had, especially in tournaments, week one, to pay up for quarterback. So some of my top percentages in terms of my tournament allocation are going to be on guys like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Deshaun Watson. Obviously, the Houston-New England game has the highest total on the week since the shift in New Orleans with Winston not playing. So right. I'll have a lot of Brees, I'll have a lot of Brady, and I'll have a lot of Watson.
All right, good stuff.
But I haven't quite settled on one of those, you know, who I'm going to play in my cash games, but I don't know if I'm going to pay all the way up at quarterback. But in terms of my tournament allocation, they'll probably be mostly those three guys.
All right. Gerson, what about you? What do you got for quarterback this for week one? Gerson.
For a quarterback, he mentioned one of them, Deshaun Watson, as my elite quarterback. I like this guy a lot. I mean, before he tore his ACL last year, he was basically a top five quarterback throughout the season. So to me, Watson's a great play. Top biggest game, volume, they're going to throw the ball. They're going to have to score to match the Patriots. And we all know the Patriots, well, maybe it's me in my opinion, but I don't really consider the Patriots a great defense this year, were they last year. So I like Deshaun Watson. The second quarterback I had is the elite quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, he's right now, I believe, on both sides on what? Let's see, what is he on FanDuel, Jeff?
Let me pull up FanDuel here and like, see.
He's like 7,200, I think.
Hold on, let me make 7,600 sure. On FanDuel, 76.
7,600, and then on DraftKings, Cousin is, man, I should have done this before. I'm sorry.
That's all good. He's
6,500. So you're getting about mid-tier pricing. I mean, maybe on DraftKings more of an elite pricing. But it's not like 8,300 like a Tom Brady or something like that, you know? Or I think he probably – I wouldn't be amazed. What's Tom Brady, like 9,000 on FanDuel?
So, yeah, he's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8,600.
So, there you go. Okay, so, I mean, Kirk Cousins on at home versus San Francisco. I mean, we all know, I mean, once you get paid, you suck. But, no, I'm kidding. once you get paid, you have to walk to walk. And this guy had been getting paid the last – I don't know how many times the franchise has asked, like four times, I think.
Yeah, it's like but ridiculous.
Now he has a max $100 million something. And I love this matchup. San Francisco defense is not very well, and they haven't really improved it over the offseason. I mean, there is some improvement on the line, on the front seven. Oh, you know more about the 49ers than I do. But I haven't really heard any great improvement on the defensive back or the secondary. I like Cousins with those weapons, Diggs and Thielen. The other quarterback I was looking at kind of was Andrew Luck. I believe he's going to be a chalk play. a lot of people probably going to be scared of him now because he didn't do very hot in the preseason. And everybody was looking at the preseason. If you were a DFS degenerate and you didn't have the Andrew Luck game playing when they were playing preseason, then you didn't want to win money. But I did, and I watched almost every single play that he ran. Even if I didn't catch the game that night, I would go back on a NFL Game Pass or whatever and watch, because it's cool. They allow you to, like, put each player, and you can watch all their plays.
Yep, that's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm not going to watch a whole Colt preseason game. Come on, guys. I have a life. But I like Andrew Luck on the road, very cheap. I mean, at home, very cheap. And that secondary they're facing is one of the it's a feisty one. But at his price on FanDuel and DraftKings, if he gets me 3X for GPP value, I'm taking him. The other quarterback I was looking at, and I want to throw up. Like, I legit want to throw up. But
Don't throw up, man.
He let me down, like, really bad. Ryan Fitzpatrick at 5,000 on DraftKings. And on FanDuel, I believe he's, like, almost, like, minimum price. I think he's, like, what, Jeff? Like,
6,200.
I mean, this guy, he can make things happen. And I think with a lot of repetition during the preseason and, like, first-team rep, basically, because Jameis Winston's suspended. Everybody knows that. And they're not going to – if he's suspended, I know they're not going to practice with him as the first quarterback, you know?
Right.
And last year when Fitzpatrick faced I can't call you Fitzmagic because you let me down. But Fitzpatrick faced New Orleans last year. He got, like, 9.72 points. But, I mean, if we look the year before that – I mean, this guy, when he started, he got 16 points, 21 points, 15 points, 16 points, 16 points. I mean, when he started, I don't know if you guys remember, like, he had a really, really great game one time.
Yep.
And he was, like, minimum value.
Yep. Agreed. I mean,
minimum whatever.
Salary.
Minimum salary. And at 5,000, it'll allow me to stack up a lot of top-tier position. And it'll allow me to get Gronk, who we'll talk about later.
All right. So I was trying to pick some plays that y'all haven't already talked about. My elite guy is Cam Newton, just from the sheer running ability that Cam Newton has and the fact that he could score touchdowns there. I like that that position where he's got Dallas coming into his hometown. Just to kind of give you an idea of how good Cam Newton can be. Last year, we would all kind of agree that Cam Newton had a down year. He wasn't what he was a couple years ago when he went to the Super Bowl. But even with his down year, he was QB number 2 last year in season-long fantasy for total points. So if he's having a down year, ending up as QB 2, if I think he's going to bounce back at all, which I do think he will do that, I definitely like him in my DFS lineups for week 1. Going up against a pretty weak Dallas defense. I know they got to have their Sean Lee linebacker back and their different defense with Sean Lee being there. But still, I think Dallas' defense overall is not that great. And then the one guy I have, it makes me want to throw up too when I say this. I'm going to kind of set it up like this. On DraftKings, I'm going to give you 3 quarterbacks, tell me what they have in common. Landry Jones, Brian Hoyer, and Jacoby Brissett. What do those 3 guys have in common?
They're all backup
quarterbacks.
They're all more expensive than Eli.
Yes, exactly. They are more expensive. They are backup quarterbacks who really aren't very good. I mean, they're okay, but backup quarterbacks, and they're all more than Eli. Eli is down there at 4,700 on DraftKings. And I know people are going to roster OBJ. I know they're going to roster Evan Ingram. They're going to roster Saquon Barkley. So you can tell me these guys are going to have good games, and Eli Manning can't at least meet his value for that salary. I mean, that's disrespect right there. 3 guys that are backup quarterbacks being priced more than him. And, Tim, I saw you shaking your head over there. Do you disagree with my Eli Manning pick? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, full fade on Eli. I was just having this conversation with a guy the other day. I believe that he's priced appropriately because it's probably the worst matchup you can have. I mean, at least they get him at home and they're not in Jacksonville. But I actually think that it's entirely possible we could see one Saquon – running touchdown and then like 3 field goals and that be the final score. So of course I'm not saying that Eli is going to have a bad game, but I could absolutely see a, you know, 200 yard, 0 TD performance from Eli where he gets like, you know, 10 points and doesn't even hit value. So If I'm paying down this week, it's probably going to be at Tyrod Taylor.
Tygon.
What? Tygon.
Tygon.
There you go. He's 5,400, so 700 more than Eli. He's also at home, but he gets Pittsburgh. He's got some rushing ability. He's had great chemistry with Jarvis Landry so far. He's got Njoku really playing at a higher level. We'll get to it later, but I'm very high on Jarvis Landry week one. So the two guys I'm considering kind of on the lower end is Tyrod at 54. And then if I was really going to pay all the way down, the other one I would consider would be Case Keenum at 5,100.
Yeah.
He's also at home. He gets the Seahawks defense. They're not as good as they used to be. You know, I've heard that he's had pretty good chemistry so far with Sanders and with Demaryius Thomas and with Courtland Sutton, their rookie. So, you know, if they can get some chemistry going in Denver, I absolutely could see him more than exceeding value. So if I'm paying down, I'm more likely to spend it on Tyrod or Keenum.
All right, fair enough. So you just poo-pooed my Eli Manning. That's
sorry,
fine.
Jeff.
That's all right, man. That's why we do this, man. If we all agreed, it wouldn't be a very good podcast. But I just think that Eli Manning, if you're going to pay down, I don't always advocate paying down that far, but it just struck me as funny that he's priced cheaper than three backup quarterbacks. One more guy I want. What was that? What'd you say?
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Exactly. It's a trap.
They do throw that out there, like the 69 for Gronkowski. Yeah. I mean, they know what's up.
They knew what they were doing, releasing some of these week one prices so early. They did some of them to tempt you into plays that you might not otherwise consider.
Fair enough. And I do like that. I do like that Case Keenum call. The Seattle Seahawks, you know, I've done a bunch of drafts over this, you know, couple of weeks. I'm in 10 season-long leagues this year, and the Seattle Seahawks defense is still being drafted as a top defense, which is crazy to me because they were terrible last year and they got worse in the offseason. So I don't understand why they're still being drafted as a top defense. They are not a top defense. So I definitely like that Case Keenum call. He's looked pretty good in camp from what I'm reading. He's got some good rapport with his receiver. So it should be a pretty good game for him. One more name I wanted to throw into the hat there is Marcus Mariota. I think he had to bounce back season from last year. He has that high floor with the rushing ability. I think he's got Deion Lewis there that can get a lot of those dump offs. He's got Corey Davis, who should have a breakout season this year. Rashard Matthews is back. He's going to be able to move the ball. I'm hoping that Delaney Walker is also available. He was questionable last I checked. But if he's available, I definitely like that Tennessee Titans offense with Mariota potentially being, you know, a running quarterback there. So just a couple guys there at quarterback. We kind of got a little bit off here and did more than I wanted to do, but I know that's kind of hard to tell y'all to stop talking. So let's go ahead and jump now into the running back position. Tim, I'll go with you first. What do you got for your running backs?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, running back tends to be the position I pay the highest at. I want to say Chris Raybon from 4for4 Football put out a statistic. The highest correlation between salary and eventual payoff is running back. If you pay like, you know, above 7,000 for your running back, you have like a 40 to 50% chance. I don't know the exact stat of having a return on your investment. So I really think that I tend of any position, the one that I usually pay the most up at running back, that's not going to be any different in week one. Three guys that I really like right at the top, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, and then Leonard Fournette. Like I said, they're all kind of up there plays. But if you're looking for somebody more in the mid range, I really like is you mentioned earlier, Christian McCaffrey. Going against that Dallas defense, he's going to get, you know, running and pass catching. So we'll get you in both ways, and I think he's got a real good shot at least a touchdown. And then kind of on the lower end, guys I really like, Alex Collins for Baltimore. I think they're going to have a good matchup. It's somebody I'd also want to stack with the defense. And then two guys I think, or one guy I think is going to be really popular, and then one guy I think that makes a good pivot. So far I've heard a lot of talk about Rex Burkhead as a week one play. Obviously, I think there's a lot of reason for that. He's 4,200. He's going to get some goal line work. There's definitely some interest there. But I also think there's some bust potential there. So if we start getting it closer to next weekend, and it's looking like Burkhead's going to be 40-plus percent owned, in a lot of my tournament games, I'm going to pivot to James White. He's $200 less. He's going to get some pass work. And I think that he could absolutely end up being just as good, if not a better play than Burkhead, and won't carry nearly as much ownership. So those are kind of some guys I'm looking at week one.
All right, definitely good plays there for sure. I like all those ones you called out. Gerson, what do you got for your running backs?
Alvin Kamara, Melvin Gordon, and Peyton Barber. All right, let me run to the next position.
Gerson's trying hard to not monopolize the podcast and talk.
Guys, he sent me a private message. He said, "Geez, hurry up." No, I'm kidding. I like Alvin Kamara as a really good play. Great play. I mean, if someone were to tell you, hey, Alvin Kamara is going to be the starting running back playing Tampa Bay and Mark Ingram's suspended. I mean, I know they have Jonathan Williams now back there, but I mean, he's not really a Mark Ingram kind of type player.
Agreed.
And he scored 62 total points for Tampa Bay last year in the two games that he played them. Seemed like a pretty obvious choice to me. Okay. And it's the second highest projected game, I believe, in Vegas right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, a great play, Alvin Kamara, for me. He's going to be one of my heaviest owned running backs next to David Johnson. I'm still debating that with David Johnson because I really am curious because his price is pretty high up there. But the other running back I really, really love a lot is Melvin Gordon. I'm going to have so much if he lets me down, my bankroll is like legit going to be negative. I'm almost like want to go 100% him, and I'm for sure he's going to be on my cash game roster. DraftKings and FanDuel, I mean, this guy is a beast. I mean, last year he was getting the heavy load against Kansas City. Kansas City is a very depleted defense now. They don't have Marcus Peters. They don't have a bunch of their linebackers, a lot of veterans that they used to have.
Yep.
I don't know what's up with Andy Reid, but all of a sudden he went like he lost his brain in the offseason. I don't know what happened. Like, he traded Alex Smith away. Everything went wrong. I think Kansas City can be really bad this year on defense. I really like that call on Tim, so I'm going to tell him Christian McCaffrey is going to be one of my higher owned players. I did mention Peyton Barber. I think everybody's going to play Rex Burkhead. He's going to be the shock of all shock. I'm gonna pivot to Peyton Barber a little bit. Because, like, in GPP, you want to go contrarian. I don't think Peyton Barber is a cash game option. As many people bought the hype on Ronald Jones. I think Ronald Jones is going to be the worst running back in this draft class of those top running backs that everybody wanted. One, he can't catch a ball. Two, he keeps running into the line, even though the line's not that great. And three, you're letting a guy named Peyton Barber beat you. Come on, dude. You know? And he's 4,100 on DraftKings. That's, I mean, $100 less than Burkhead. And on FanDuel, I believe, like, what? 5,600?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a cheap running back I like. I mean, other than those other guys, I think we nailed most of the guys I want. I think it's just running back on DraftKings, you really want to pay for them, like Tim says. On FanDuel, you want to pay for them. You want to get a stud because, as we know, FanDuel is a 0.5 PPR, right?
Yep.
So, a little different. Make sure you guys know your rules, what site you play on.
Yep, definitely agree with that. I just wanted, you know, just in the time that we've got here, I'll just give my couple of plays here. I do like Royce Freeman on the lower end for Denver. I think he won that job. He may end up splitting a little bit of carries, but I think once they see him and how he's been playing, I think they can't really go away from him. He's 6,000 on FanDuel and 4,500 on DraftKings. Good price for a starting running back. And then sort of a contrarian GPP play would be Jordan Wilkins for the Colts. I kind of like him as well. I think he's going to be the starter there week one with Marlon Mack injured. Neiman Hines can't seem to hold onto the ball. I think he had four fumbles this preseason and limited work, so he ain't getting the ball anytime soon. Christian, what's his name? Who's the other running back there?
Michaels.
I think, you know, we've sort of seen enough of him. I think we know what he is. But Jordan Wilkins looks good in the preseason. I think he starts week one. He's very cheap. I don't have the numbers pulled up right now, but he's definitely
37 on DraftKings.
3,700. Wow, that's really less lower than I thought he was going to be. So, yeah, he's definitely an option for your tournament plays as well. All right, let's do receiver really quick here. Gerson, we'll go to you first.
Wilkins, 5,100 on FanDuel.
5,100 on FanDuel? Okay. All right, let's go to receivers, Gerson. Who you got for receivers?
I'm not going to go too in deep. I'm just going to name my target of, like, who I want because, obviously, we're going to do this next week. We're going to go I'm going to hog, like, 2 hours of the podcast, and they're going to get 1 minute, guys. So don't worry. I got you. I say the top wide receiver play is Antonio Brown on both sides, but I'm going to pivot to DeAndre Hopkins. as my heaviest owned wide receiver. Other than that, at the top tier, I'll let some of the other guys touch the other guys. In the mid-tier, I really like the Vikings wide receiver or Chris Hogan. And as a value wide receiver, it's funny because early on, you guys mentioned two quarterbacks, Case Keenum and Cam Newton. And those guys have really good low-value wide receivers like Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders on both sides.
Yep.
And then DJ Moore. I'm telling you guys got to believe in this kid. This kid's really talented. I can't remember the exact college he came from. I think it's LSU, was it? I'm not sure, but when I, what was it?
I'm not a college guy, so you got me.
I know Tim's more of a college guy than I am, but DJ Moore, I really like him. I watch his tape. And
Maryland,
yeah. And this guy can fly. I mean, in a PPR on DraftKings, going to be a great price at 4,100. On FanDuel, I'm kind of reluctant to play him because I don't really like to play PPR wide receivers. I like to play more heavy touchdown. I'll let you guys cover the other wide receivers because I know you guys are going to nail them.
All right, definitely. Tim, all right, let's go to you. What you got for your receivers?
Yeah, Garrison mentioned a couple of the guys I really like there. Another couple of people I like. I mentioned earlier I'm going to be high on Jarvis Landry. I'll have a lot of him week one. Another guy that I'll have a lot of just because I'll have a lot of Patriots in general is Chris Hogan. No Edelman out. He should see more work there. And then if I'm going to pay all the way down, one guy I think that's really made some interesting moves in camp is Michael Gallup for the Dallas Cowboys. He's a 4,000, I think. Right now, I don't know if he's projected to be the starter, but if it looks like he's going to end up getting the majority of snaps in that game, he's definitely somebody I want to look at that price.
All right, good stuff.
Ellis doesn't have much at receiver right now, so it's not going to be hard to win a job.
Yep, exactly, exactly. I think maybe you can go out there and try out Tim and maybe get a few snaps. all right, I'm only going to add one to that list, and only because I live in Washington and I've seen this guy kill Washington multiple times, Larry Fitzgerald. Whenever he seems to play Washington, he seems to have huge games. I don't have numbers in front of me, but I know at least there's at least one game in the last 2 years that he had like 10 receptions and 100-plus yards, especially on DraftKings with the full-point PPR. I think I like Larry Fitzgerald there. Redskins didn't do much to improve their defense in the secondary. They haven't looked good in the preseason, so I don't think they're going to be very good. So I think Fitzgerald can definitely be a top option there at the mid-tier range. All right, let's go tight end. Gerson, to you.
I don't like to pay up a tight end unless his name is Gronk, but obviously that's going to be the chalk play on both sides because now one thing I want to touch is there's a flex spot on FanDuel, so you can use that tight end as a flex spot, so it'll save you a lot of salary on both sides. Gronk is probably number one, but, I mean, obviously we were all going to mention it if we didn't. Someone didn't mention it. But other guys I really like, and I'm probably going to have more heavier exposure to Jordan Reed on DraftKings and FanDuel because he's cheaper. He's only 4,000 on DraftKings. I believe on FanDuel he is – hold on, I have it right here. Come on. Tight end. Sorry, I had it right here. He is 5,800. And, I mean, if I can put that in my flex spot and save money rather than putting, like, a wide receiver or a running back at that cheap, I mean, you're putting Jordan Reed versus, like, Wilkins, you know, at 5,100, 5,800. But the other wide tight end I like, and then a lot of people are going to forget about him, is Tyler Eifert, 3,400. Yep. Versus the Colts. Colts don't have a very good secondary, nor do they have a good they're very weak versus the tight end. If there's any time to play those two tight ends that I just mentioned, it is week one.
Yep.
Because one, they're not hurt. And two, if they get hurt during the game, I will be throwing a fit. And then the very, very low-value, cheap tight end. I don't know. I don't like to say sick call of the day, but like when I pay down, I get pretty lucky sometimes. I'm not feeling that lucky yet, but Mike Gesicki, tight end for the Miami Dolphins.
Nice call.
Rookie tight end. If you go look at the beat writers and stuff, they're blowing him up. They're saying he has the talent. Ryan Tannehill has said great things about him. In the first down, and Tannehill just went to him. Boom, he caught it. He got the first down. And when you get a first down on a third and a six, I think it was, from a quarterback to a tight end, that tells you the quarterback is comfortable with him.
Exactly.
And he's 2,800 on DraftKings. And on FanDuel, he is, I think he's like almost minimum price, 4,700.
Wow.
So you've got to put those guys into flex, and you can pay up elsewhere.
All right, good stuff. Tim, you got anybody else you want to talk about tight end?
Yeah, the only guy really that I want to add, I guess two guys I would add to that list. One of them I actually would play, and the other one's more of a punt. One is ASJ, Austin Seferian Jenkins. He now has moved to Jacksonville, and everybody knows you play tight ends against the Giants. They just can't cover the position traditionally. The other one, obviously, is Cleveland, but between Vance McDonald and Jesse James, you know, I don't know if I'm going to play one of those two guys. And then another guy that I think is I'm playing mainly just because I think he's underpriced is Ryan Griffin of the Houston Texans. Again, that's the highest projected score on the week. He's only, I think, 2,600, and you anticipate that he's going to get some check down work. If he manages to get in the box, it's just a bonus. But like Garrison said, especially if you're trying to fit the Antonio Browns and the David Johnsons week one, you're going to have to pay down somewhere. And I think that you could do a lot less, a lot worse than punting with Ryan Griffin.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I only want to add one name to that list, and it's actually not on the main slate. He plays in the Thursday night game, and that's Zach Ertz. The Eagles got a lot of injuries at receiver. Of course, we know Alshon Jeffery is not going to play week one. And then they've got, of course, Aguilar's had an injury. I think he'll play, but he's had an injury in this preseason. And I think they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets, and Zach Ertz and Goddard are going to be out there as the quote-unquote receivers. I like Ertz a little bit. I don't have the prices pulled up because I actually have the main slate pulled up on my computer, so I don't know what Zach Ertz's price is on the Thursday to Monday slate. But he would be a good play. And also Goddard, I'm sure he's pretty close to minimum price as well. So if you're playing the full slate, Thursday to Monday, those are two guys you want to look at that could definitely put up some good points there, especially Goddard with his cheaper price.
He's 6,600 on FanDuel, and Goddard, is it Goddard or Goddard?
I don't know, man. It looks like it's Goddard to me, but maybe it is Goddard.
It's 4,000. He's on FanDuel. Holy crap. Shit. 4,000 for a tight end that could get a touchdown?
Yeah, that's definitely a good play because I've heard a lot of...
Ertz is 66 and Goddard's 3K on DraftKings.
Yep, definitely. I think Goddard could be good. I think they've already talked about it, you know, going to a lot of two tight end sets with those receivers being injured. And, you know, we saw last year that, you know, whoever the quarterback is there, whether it's Foles, Wentz, whoever it is, they like the tight ends. Ertz had a huge season. Even Trey Burton had a pretty good season as the number two. So Goddard can definitely get a touchdown there if you know, all things break well for him. All right. So we're at the hour mark here. So we're going to play a little spade or fade, a little bit of quick hitters real quick. Basically what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a player that's going to be, you know, maybe higher owned or a higher priced guy that people are going to like, especially the newbies. And I want you to sort of call them a spade, which is a good thing. That you're going to play them in your lineups. Or a fade, someone you're going to pivot to somebody else to try to avoid the masses here. Gerson, we'll start with you first with Russell Wilson. Of course, last year in seasonal fantasy, he was the number one quarterback overall. They didn't do much to help him in the offseason, got rid of some of his weapons. So he could basically be doing it all himself. You got Russell Wilson as a spade or a fade?
I'm going to say spade because... Vegas has the game very low and on the road at Denver. I know people are going to say keep Talib is gone, their defense sucks and everything. But when you add a guy like Bradley Chubb and Von Miller and a Seattle offensive week, offensive line, that's like playing checkmate, you know? I mean, I'd rather fade.
All right.
What is it? Fade?
Fade, yeah. You want to fade. Yeah. If you don't like him, you're fading him. Tim, what about you? Let's go with Drew Brees. Spade or fade at home?
Oh, he's a spade. You always play Drew when he's home in the dome, especially with this implied Vegas total. I'm all over Drew Brees in week one. I'm also fading Russell Wilson, by the way.
Fade Russell Wilson. Yeah, I definitely agree with you on both accounts there. Gerson, let's go to you with the running backs. Le'Veon Bell with his holdout this preseason. I think last year he held out, and I think he only had 10 carries in week one. Is he going to be a spade or a fade this time?
Just to show you how much exposure I will have to Le'Veon Bell week one will be this. So he's definitely a fade.
Definitely a fade. All right, Tim, we got Ezekiel Elliott with all this news coming out with his offensive line. I wanted to give you this one because you live in Dallas. You probably hear a lot of Dallas talk radio. What do you think of Zeke, spade or fade week one?
Well, right now... I hate to kind of hedge my bet here, but I think it kind of depends on who plays on that offensive line. We know that Travis Frederick, the center, is probably going to be out. So assuming the other four guys play, most specifically Zach Martin at right guard, I'm going to say he's a spade. They have nothing at receiver. They're off. They shored up that left guard, or think they did in the draft. So I think they're going to be a little bit better. So, yeah, as long as Zach Martin plays and everybody else plays, give me all the Z.
All right, definitely. Yeah, and definitely with this news that their offensive line is bad, you can get him on low ownership because people are scared to play him. So that's a good call there, spade. Receiver, we're going with OBJ. You got him as a spade or a fade coming off that major injury last year, Gerson. What you got?
Well, since Eli Manning can have a great game, according to all his voices. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to fade him. I think there's better wide receivers in his tier of pricing. Jalen Ramsey, this guy talks so much shit that if he had a porta potty, he could live in it. But holy crap, this guy is a beast. Back it up. He can walk the walk. I mean, last year everybody was like, oh, he got burned by Antonio Brown. I'm like, wrong. AJ Boyce, that got burned by Antonio Brown. You can go look at the film. But Jalen Ramsey, he can stop OJ. Or OJ, is it?
OBJ. He could probably stop OJ too.
Oh, wrong one.
All right, Tim, Mike Evans with Fitzpatrick as his quarterback. You got him as a spade or a fade?
Yeah, I'm fading Mike. I think if Winston played, I'd consider him. He's going to get the volume. I just don't know how much ceiling he really has. At 6,700, there's better plays. I'm out.
All right, agreed. All right. Well, both y'all can do this one. Tight end for the Giants, Evan Engram, a spade or fade?
Fade.
Nope. Spade?
He said fade.
Fade for me.
Oh, yeah. I'm fading. I told you. I'm not really interested in anybody on the Giants week one. If there's anybody I'm playing in tournaments, it's Saquon, but I don't want anybody else.
Agreed. I think that's the same thing for me. I think Evan Ingram's got some regression this year because they've got some new weapons now with Saquon Barkley back, OBJ is back, Sterling Shepard has kind of come into his own, so I think he doesn't get quite as many targets as he did last year from Eli, and I'm definitely fading. All right, guys, that wraps up the podcast. We didn't run too long. I think we're only over 6 minutes, so good job. Once again, like I said, guys, we're going to be here again next Friday talking a little bit more in-depth with our plays because we'll have a little bit more information on some of these guys that are questionable and a little bit better feeling as far as who's going to be playing what. So, again, thanks for coming on. Gerson and Tim Strobel of the DFS Roundtable on Facebook. You can look them up. Just Facebook search DFS Roundtable. It'll pop up. It's a great group. Very active group there. Gerson's very knowledgeable. If you didn't know this already, Gerson is one of those guys that maxes out some of these tournaments. I think you're maxing out the Millie Maker in week one, if I'm not mistaken. So Gerson's got a lot of knowledge. Both so good. Definitely he's always willing to help people out. So definitely check out DFS Roundtable. Tim, of course, is a very good source of information as well. I have him on my podcast quite often. He talks college sports. He can talk pretty much anything. So also another good source of information there in DFS Roundtable. Thanks again for coming on, guys, and we'll do it again next week.
See you.
Peace out.